Good afternoon.
I've been looking forward to this series. We are going to be focusing on worshiping God in songs, praising God, edifying one another. And we've asked Stephen Rouse to be here for today and tomorrow. And he is here with his family, Brianne, his wife, and their children. Stephen works with the church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, alongside his father-in-law, Scott Smelser, who is my brother, which makes Stephen my nephew-in-law. Very glad to have him here with us. Stephen has written a number of songs that are very good hymns. He has arranged a number of songs that others have written, and he has been very helpful in helping brethren all over, and especially I get to see him working with young men in helping young men learn to praise God in song, and I appreciate his work in this way. He's going to be he'll be speaking this first hour, and I think leading us in some songs this first hour, and then the second hour this afternoon, we will be just mostly singing hymns, although I'm sure Stephen will have some things to say about some of those. So in just a moment, we're going to turn things over to Stephen. We also have Jacob and Annie Black here from Albany, New York. They drove all the way down here from Albany, New York for this event today, and Jacob is going to lead us in an opening prayer. And at the end of our hour, Scott Smelser will lead us in a closing prayer. Before we have that opening prayer, I'm going to ask you something that's kind of important when we are really focusing on singing together, and that is sitting together. So we've got kind of spread out long ways here, and we kind of have a big empty section right there, and it'll sound that way if we don't sit together. So I encourage everybody, move up a few rows, move in close to some other people where you can hear some people, and look at that great, wonderful cooperation. Wow, you brethren must love one another. All right, fantastic. And it will make it a whole lot easier for us to sing together in harmony. Fantastic. Oh, it looks better already. Okay. All right, now my daughter and son-in-law are walking in. Now I'm going to see where they sit, if I have to call them out or not. Let's see where they sit. They're doing pretty well, wouldn't you say? There they are. Okay. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Jacob will lead us, and then we'll turn things over to Stephen.
Let's pray together. Our God, you are good and gracious and holy, and we are grateful for an opportunity to be with brothers and sisters in Christ and to consider how we can praise you better, God, and we can spend time praising you because you are more than worthy and deserving of such praise, God. God, we pray that you will help us to come before you and praise you with open hearts, God, and with thoughtful hearts, considering what we are saying to you and what we are saying to one another, God, as we sing, that we would stir each other up to love and good works, and that we would encourage one another to empty ourselves of self and to fill ourselves with you, God, so that you can be magnified not just in this hour, but in all that we do in our lives, God. God, we thank you so much for loving us, and we pray that you will teach us how to love each other and love you the way that you have loved us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our King. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's so good to be with you. I've been looking forward to seeing so many of you this weekend. Thank you for being here on a Saturday. I appreciate that so much. And I hope that our time together this weekend will draw us closer to God, will draw us closer to each other. It's such a blessing to be here with my family And we appreciate the congregation here for a lot of different reasons. We appreciate your support in the work in Harrisburg. We appreciate just the encouragement that we get from the church here and from so many of you, different events throughout the year. So thank you for the work that you're doing in this part of the kingdom. And to God be the glory for all of the good work that's going on in different places. We're going to be talking in a moment in Hebrews chapter 13. If you want to open your Bibles to Hebrews 13, this is going to be a bit of a theme verse for us this weekend as we talk about our worship in song. And I want to ask you a question as we begin. And that is, if someone came to you and asked you, do you offer sacrifices? What would you say? Probably would depend on the context of the conversation and such. If you got asked that at the supermarket, it's probably not something you get asked a whole lot. But if someone asked you, truly, do you offer sacrifices? You might think of a scene like the one pictured here, of animal sacrifice, and you say, well, if I go out in my backyard and burn an animal in my backyard, no, I don't do that. And that's correct. But I want us to think about a concept that comes up at the end of the book of Hebrews that affects the way we think about our worship to God in song in particular. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, I'm reading from the ESV this weekend. Through him, that is through Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So when we read this verse and you ask that question, do you offer sacrifices? What should the answer be? The answer ought to be, yes, we offer sacrifices. And there's actually three sacrifices mentioned here. There's the first that we're going to focus on in particular, our praise, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. But it also mentions doing good and sharing what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And let me tell you, whenever the scriptures say, this pleases God, that ought to get our attention. If we love the Lord, if we want to please him, we want whatever that is. And so he says, you offer sacrifices. And by the way, this is significant at the end of a book like Hebrews, where he has talked at length about the concept of sacrifice in this book. And he's pointed out over and over in this book that as far as atoning sacrifices go, there's only ever been one of those. Christ's sacrifice was once for all. God is not looking for any more animal sacrifices. However, here in chapter 13, have all types of sacrifices ceased? No. He says, we still offer a sacrifice of praise to God. And here's the thing. In a book like Hebrews, drawing from the Old Testament like it does, what is one of the things that is emphasized about sacrifices in the Old Covenant over and over and over and over? What did a sacrifice have to be? It had to be the very best that they had. And actually, the whole Bible begins with this, doesn't it? Cain and Abel. Cain brought an offering. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. He brought the best that he had, and that may have been one of the distinctions between the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Over and over in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, at least 36 times, it describes the sacrifices as being without blemish. It has to be the very best that you have to offer. And so as we think about this, we think about Malachi as well. By the time at the end of the Old Testament, what were they bringing? They were bringing sacrifices, checking that box, but what kind of sacrifices were they bringing? Essentially the leftovers, the lime and the lame and the blind. And he says, offer that to your governor. You know, and they're not going to accept that. And so my challenge to us this weekend is this. Think of your praise as a sacrifice. It's easy for us. And maybe I'll particularly speak to those of us who have been serving the Lord for a portion of our lives at this point, for several years. It is easy for us, with probably any of the acts of worship that we offer, but maybe in particular with our singing, to drift into autopilot with songs that we know really well. Let me tell you, this is a challenge for me too. It's easy to sing the same songs that we've sung since we were little and to, at some point, kind of check out. But what God wants from our praise is he wants us to offer the very best that we have to offer. Our worship and song can't become lackadaisical. It can't become just automatic. It can't become thoughtless. where we're just checking the box and going through. And so we're going to talk about different ways in which, this weekend, we can improve our sacrifice to God. Because He deserves the very best that we have to offer. Because He's worthy of our praise, worthy of the best that we have. So keep this concept in mind as we go through this weekend. We're going to begin by singing this song for the beauty of the earth. But I've gone back, and as far as I can tell, this was the original chorus of the song. Lord of all, to thee we raise. We usually sing this, our hymn of grateful praise. Great line. But I think originally, when this hymn was written, it was originally this, our sacrifice of praise. And I love that being the end of this. And of course, the way this song works, it's backwards, right? It says, we offer you our sacrifice for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies. We say the for first, and then we say, here's what we're offering. So we're going to sing this song through with that line in the chorus each time. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise, as we meditate on all the reasons that God deserves our best sacrifice. So let's sing for the beauty of the earth together. Like being able to sing that line as we meditate on Hebrews 13. So what we're going to do as we go through this weekend is think about that sacrifice. How can we improve it? How can we individually and collectively do some specific things from different aspects to offer that better sacrifice? We're going to do an exercise for a moment. If you want to open your Bible to Ephesians 5, I think we're probably familiar with Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, as well as Colossians 3, 16 and 17. We're going to do an exercise with this because what we want to do is accomplish God's purposes for our singing. Not just what we might like from our singing, but what has God said that's connected with our singing, our sacrifice. And what we're going to do, and this is a little bit arbitrary, but I think there's some value to this, is to divide these different commands in this passage into four categories. We're going to think about physical things, mental things, emotional things and spiritual things. Now, I realize a little bit of this is subjective, but it helps to think about the way in which singing touches the whole of our person. Every part of us is involved when we truly sing to God and offer Him that sacrifice of praise. So as we read through this, we're going to start in Ephesians 5, verse 18. Think about how these commands fit into these four categories. It says, Ephesians 5, verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So again, as we walk through this text, there's different ways you might do this. But of course, be filled with the Spirit. That's a spiritual goal with this. We are addressing one another. This is kind of that teaching concept. If you're going to address someone, they need to understand what you're saying to them. And I'm going to have a couple things underlined here. There are two audiences of our singing. One of the dimensions is we're singing not just to God, but to each other. And different hymns focus more on one or the other. Of course, physically, we'll talk more about this in a minute, singing is a physical activity that involves your body, it involves your lungs, and involves your vocal cords. God asks us to do that. Then making melody in your heart. I think of that perhaps as emotional. You could put that in maybe some different categories, but making melody to the Lord. So one another is an audience, to the Lord is an audience. Giving thanks, again, it involves our gratitude, which is part of our emotional makeup. And then submitting to one another really deals with the coming section, but I want to make a connection that there is a submission to one another that happens in our singing. Do any of us have preferences about music? And we live in a day and an age, right, where generally music, you know, you're listening to a radio. I don't know how many listen to the radio still, but or if you're streaming something is maybe what we do. If you don't like it, what do? You change it, right? If it's not my favorite, I don't have to deal with it. But when we all sing the same thing together, it might not be my favorite, but we still work together and submit to one another in a sense that even if it's not my favorite, I still do my best to offer the best sacrifice I can with that song. Now, leaders need to think carefully about what they're asking the congregation to offer as their sacrifice. We'll talk more about that later. But there is a submission to one another I think is interesting to think about in regard to our singing. Similarly, over in the Colossians passage, right? Just like it says, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's a spiritual goal. Think about the scriptures that we're singing. Teaching and admonishing one another. We'll particularly talk about this tomorrow morning in the Bible class hour, Lord willing. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness, gratitude is included in both of these, and all of this in the name of the Lord by His authority. So what we're going to do for a minute is we're going to kind of look at each of these categories and think about how can we engage every part of our being in this act of sacrificing our praise to God. And we're going to start with the physical. And I just want to say as we go into this, we're going to talk about some mechanics here because singing is a physical activity. But there's always a challenge in weekends like this to talk about some mechanics that can be practiced, that can be improved upon, without getting lost in the mechanics. And I'm going to try to keep this very simple, very practical, but there are simply, just like public speaking is a skill that you can objectively improve to help the message of the gospel get to people, singing is something that you can do some physical things to help it be better as we do that physical thing that God has asked us to do. Singing is something we do with our bodies. It is an embodied activity, which I've been reading some things recently about phones and digital things and how they are a disembodied thing and all the problems, mental health, and all sorts of things that come from not paying attention to our bodies. Singing pulls us into our bodies. And it's interesting that God didn't just say, talk to each other. He didn't even just say, chant, although some songs are kind of chants, but He said to sing. So I'm going to do a real simple exercise here. And we're just going to read the lyrics to God Is So Good together. Don't chant it, don't sing it, just read it, okay? Together, ready? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. That's true. That's helpful. We spoke to one another, right? Now, I want us to, this might be a little weird, but try chanting it for a moment. We're just going to do like one note, okay? So like,
God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me.
Or we got like one note going on. So we can chant it. That's a little different than saying it. But now I want us to sing it. And think about the difference that it makes when we sing, and the way we typically do it is in our four-part harmony. This is helpful to do. So let's see. I'll start here. There's something different about that. It just affects us in a whole different way. It's the same words, same message, but with the music, it gets to our being in a different level. And it helps us remember it. We'll talk more about that in another lesson. But God asked us to sing, and I think there's reasons for that. Not everything has to be four-part harmony, but there's something about singing that really engages us. So as we think about this, just a very practical thing we can do to sing better is to pay attention to our breathing and our posture. The scriptures even talk about this. The very last verse of Psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God gave us breath. In fact, He began the book of Genesis, right, by breathing into us. And then what does He ask us to give back in sacrifice? Our praise, which involves our breathing, our breath. God gave you breath, give it back to Him as a sacrifice. That's part of it. And so simply taking a deeper breath before you sing is going to make the singing better. It just is, all the time. So y'all just take a deep breath with me. Get used to that. And one of the things a song leader can do is right before you start is to give a prep beat and to breathe in just so the whole congregation is ready. And that first note, you're already engaging your body in the physical activity of singing. So breathe deeply. Posture. My posture is awful. It really is. Every time I hear someone talk about posture, I just immediately, I'm like, oh man, my posture is so bad. But sit up for a minute. Technically, the best posture for singing is standing. We're not going to stand all weekend. We'll stand for a few songs. But just in the pew, sit up. We're not going to sing as well if we're slouched back in the pew. So just sitting up is going to help engage. It helps you breathe better, of course. Breathe deeply before you sing. And then sing with your full voice. It's easy for us to feel sometimes ashamed of our voice. I think we live in a culture that, American Idol, I feel like it's done so much damage to, like, people are scared of people critiquing their singing. We just sing with the voice that God gave you. It does not have to be perfect. We'll talk about some tools that you can use to help. But man, we want to offer to God our breath, our praise, our bodies that we're giving back to Him, to sing to Him with full voice. And again, just for some practical things, we'll talk more about this tomorrow afternoon for the leaders and those who'd like to attend that session. Make sure people can see you and hear you when you lead. Singing is a physical activity. They need to see your body and you're leading however you're doing that. And the congregation, look up, watch the leader. You can have great leaders, but if you don't have any followers, it's not going to help a whole lot. And so figure out these pieces of the physical embodied activity of singing that can be improved to do this. So with that in mind, with our posture and our breath and looking up, let's do it one more time and think about this. Just again, the same verse of the same song. I don't know about about you, but from up here, that sounded like way fuller than it did just a moment ago. Just because we're breathing, just because we're putting our breath, our body into this activity. And these things are easy to forget. It's good to have reminders of these things. Breathe in, sit up. But if we can do just some simple things, it really helps things. Now, I want to tie this in because, again, we don't want to get too far off on getting lost in the mechanics. But just do one more activity with this for me. I want you to add your mind and your heart to this. Keep your body posture good. Breathe. But I want you to, for just a minute, each of us do this quietly to ourselves. Think about a demonstration of God's goodness in your life recently. How has God been good to you lately? What is something that has moved you to praise Him lately? Do you have that in your mind? Let's sing it one more time.
Tell Him how good He is.
That's the aspect that just puts this thing way out there. We can breathe well and sit up well all we want, but when our hearts are engaged with our bodies, man, this is accomplishing the different dimensions of worship that God has given to us. I want to talk about one other aspect that deals with our mechanics that will help us start a song together. Because singing is kind of unique in the different acts of worship that we have, in that it's the thing that we're all doing at the exact same moment in the exact same way. When we pray together, a person is wording that prayer, but we're participating in that prayer. When someone is speaking up here, or maybe we're following along, but our thoughts don't always stay on every single thing. We're maybe thinking about this. But singing, it is the most unifying physical thing that we do together. It's really cool to think about that. And so one of the things we can do to start together, there's really two elements of our singing. There is the melody, and there is the rhythm. And so song leaders can do some simple things to help us start on the pitch together, and then they can do some things to help us keep the rhythm together. And those can be very simple things. You don't have to be a music major or study a long time to get some simple things together. So what we're going to do, and we'll do more of this in detail with the leaders tomorrow, but for the whole congregation, you probably see leaders use some kind of pitching device, whether it's one of these or an app. And I'm going to give what's called the do. And really, all you need to do to start on all the harmony parts is learn three notes. Do, which is a triangle. Mi, which is a diamond. And sol, which is a circle or an oval. And those go in both directions. Do, mi, sol. They also go down. Do, sol, mi, depending on where you start. Now, the do might be lower or higher. Do, mi, sol. Do, sol, mi. The do moves around. It can be higher or lower depending on the key of the song. But what's nice about this is when you just learn these three notes, like 99% of the songs in the book, all parts, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, start on those three notes. So if you learn how to find these, you can start almost any song in the book, soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. If you forget what these relationship of these notes sound like, if you know the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, that's how you remember do, mi, sol. I have decided, do, do, mi, sol, sol. That's an easy mnemonic device to remember how that sounds if you know that hymn. We're not going to sing Old MacDonald. My kids saw this on my PowerPoint screen this morning. They're, are we going to sing Old MacDonald? No, we're not going to sing Old MacDonald. But if you want to remember Do Sol, it's a very easy way to remember. Old MacDonald, Do Sol. Now you'll never forget that. I'm sorry about that. If you need to go down to Mi, this is pretty rare, but if you know this hymn, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, it goes down to Sol and Mi. We are bound for, that's do, 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 sol, mi, sol. If you can remember those notes, that's an easy way to remember this. And this is helpful not just for song leaders, but for anybody singing any of the parts in the song. So let's practice it here. These are the opening notes of When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. And the soprano part is the top set of notes up here. The alto is the next set of notes under that. Those two are above the words. Then tenor and bass are down below. Tenor is the upper part. Bass is the lower part. All of those are below the words. But if you look at this, do, mi, or sol, what part does the soprano start on? It starts on a mi, so we're going to go up to mi. Here's our do. In this case, it's going to be a C on our pitch. Do, mi, that's the soprano. Now, alto, this is easy. What note do they all start on? If you're singing alto, you start on a do, the triangle. So it's just do, altos. Tenors, y'all go up to a sol. So do, mi, sol, tenors. And basses, 99% of the time, you're always going to start on do. So easiest for the basses, you're going to start on do. So altos and basses will sing do. So what I want us to do, and we're going to try this through the weekend as we begin the songs, is to just practice finding your starting note. And the reason for this is so that the leader doesn't sing a solo for a couple measures while everyone's like, where's my part? Where's the alto? If you just learn this little exercise, everyone can start in full harmony from the first note of the song, and it increases our unity and increases the way we sing together. So let's sing this first line together. Here's our opening notes. Do, altos, hum this note with me, altos and basses, do, mi, sopranos, hum this note with me, sol, tenors, a little louder. So do you hear how you already got the harmony going and you just hear those notes? And that's why I try to do that when I lead, is just to get the do. And I might not sing all the different notes. I'll do that a little more this weekend because we're working on it. But that just allows everyone to have your note in your head ready, and so you can then just sing the song. And so all of this is you're working through the mechanics to get to the worship. The worship is the goal, but practicing the mechanics a little bit helps facilitate the worship that we're working on. So let's sing this opening line of When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. Do, altos, basses, mi, soprano, sol, tenor, mi. So on and so forth. So just learning that simple exercise, we'll practice that through the weekend. This will help us start in unity. We're not going to go over this because of our short time frame this afternoon, but you can learn the whole scale. You go back to The Sound of Music, Do, A Deer, and so forth. There's another song you can learn to that tune that helps you memorize the shapes of the notes. Do is like a pyramid, Re is shaped just like a bowl, and so on and so forth. But if you learn not just do, mi, sol, but all the notes, you can learn to sing any part of any song in the book. The shape notes are a great learning tool for this thing. And so if you want to talk about that more, let's talk about that outside of these sessions. But I just wanted to introduce that concept to you if you want to learn more about these tools for learning new songs. So that's the physical aspect of our singing. Now we want to shift gears and think about the mental aspect of our singing. Because the singing should not just be something that's purely physical. You can go through all the outward motions of singing and your mind be somewhere far away. I think we've all had that experience before, haven't we? Where you go through the physical becomes so automatic. We've sung this song so many times that I'm just singing Jesus Loves Me and I'm not thinking about Jesus. Maybe I'm thinking about where we're going to go to lunch or something like that. And so we have to engage our minds for our own edification, but also to teach and admonish one another, to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there's different ways for us to do that. Something we're going to do a lot of tomorrow is look at the words of the songs. Think about the scriptures behind those words. But something else I've seen done and we're going to do here is we're going to take a song that's probably familiar to most of us. This is My Father's World. And we're going to sing it together, but we're going to use pictures to get us to really visualize what it is that we're singing together. This is not doesn't work for every song in the book, but I found this to be one other way to engage our minds in really contemplating what it is that we're singing to God and to one another. So let's sing. We're going to sing all three verses of This Is My Father's World, but using these pictures to focus our minds and think about what it is that we're singing. And by the way, I used this at a camp one time where we were singing bilingually. So if you sing Spanish, you may sing the singable translation under this. That's a rough translation, roughly parallel to what the English is, but it is singable.
Do,
There's all sorts of ways that can engage our minds along with our bodies in singing. Another aspect of our worship that I do want to touch on, because it can go to extremes, is the emotional component. I do believe that we ought to have gratitude in our hearts when we sing. We ought to be making melody with our heart to the Lord. Now, of course, there's a way to go off on the focus on the emotion, where instead of letting the word be the goal and letting that stir emotions in us, there's so much worship out there, or so-called worship, that really is just an emotional festival, where like the whole goal is to get you emotionally riled up and think, oh, and if I have this certain emotional experience, that's worship. Not necessarily. Our heart and mind ought to lead our emotions. Our emotions ought to be engaged. They ought to be there, but that's not the thing at the front. It's getting the cart before the horse, so to speak. And so as we think about the things that engage our emotions ought to be the thoughts of what we're singing. When you really think about the truths given in Scripture, when you meditate on the sacrifice of the Lord, it ought to move us emotionally. And again, that's not to say that everyone is going to express that to the same level of emotiveness. Sometimes it's easy to look at the other people in the pews and think, well, they must not be thinking much about it. We don't know necessarily what's going on in every person's heart when they sing. Different people are more emotive, other people's less so. But if we are really thinking about it, it often will cause our emotions to rise within us. And that can fuel our physical singing as well. One song that really helps me to do this is, we'll talk about that in a minute, but one way that I like to think about this is the role of the Psalms in Scripture. The Psalms address not just our minds, but all sorts of different aspects of our hearts. When we think about the book of Psalms, particularly, which we're told to use, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? We use these psalms to praise God. The Psalms, we relate to them so well because they reflect what's in our heart. They've been called the mirror of the soul. That when you look in the Psalms, you're like, I felt that way, but maybe I didn't have words for it. And this is why we relate to other types of songs, too. Sometimes you hear a song, and you're like, wow, like that really puts words to where I'm at in my life right now. And that's why they resonate with us. But the Psalms take us from any possible place that we're at in our life, whether in a season of fear, or hope, or regret, or peace, or despair, or wonder. There's a psalm for all those things. But the psalms do more than just reflect what's currently in our hearts. The thing I love about the psalms is they start there, but then they direct our hearts to God. And so these numbers represent different psalms in the book of Psalms, and they show us how the psalms take us from a place of anger and show us how to bring that to God, or a place of gratitude and show us how to bring that to God. And so this concept is true of our singing as well. But I will say this about our songbooks in general. Are more of the songs in our songbooks generally happy or generally sad? Generally more happy. Are more of the psalms generally happy or generally sad? Generally sad. And let me say, that sometimes I think is a problem for us. And I've been grateful in recent years at what I at least perceive in my little corner of the world as a resurgence in interest in the Psalms and singing the Psalms. Matt Basford came out with his Psalter a few years ago that you can use to sing more of those laments that are in the Psalms. And so I think there's some real value in that. That worship is not just for people who are happy right now. Worship is for people who are hurting. And if we don't know how to take our pain to God, where are we going to take it? Our worship ought to be a tool for us when we are hurting, that we can then take that emotion, that anger, that despair, and say, I'm going to go to God's throne with that. And there's a psalm for that. This is a great tool that we have that can be accompanied by the songs that we sing, because prayer is part of this as well, not just singing. But I think that's really helpful for us to think about that. I want to sing And Can It Be. This is one that moves me because we are thinking scriptural thoughts about what Jesus has done. And we're marveling and saying, can it really be? Is it too good to be true that you, my God, would die for me? It's an amazing thing. So let's think of these thoughts and allow ourselves to be moved as we sing And Can It Be.
And can it be?
when we put all of these elements together, it's moving. It's powerful. And it's what God wants to happen in our singing. Really, all of these tie into the spiritual, and again, you can put these in different categories. But something that we're going to spend more time on this weekend is particularly the third one here, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that thought of the word's not just something that we read, but something that we plant deep in our hearts, and that music is a particular tool that God gives us to put the word deeper down in there. It's like we read it and we put it on the top and then we sing it and we go, we like push the seed down in our hearts. It helps the word dwell richly in us. And so there's a lot of different songs that are pulled from different scriptures. We're going to learn a few new songs this weekend. This one was requested. And so this song comes from Romans 13. And this is a passage that I was reading and thought, man, we need a way to get that singing. We need to be able to sing this. In Romans 13, starting in verse 11, it says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So this song is an effort to take those thoughts from Scripture and to put them in a way that we can sing. And I'm going to put the Scripture references here kind of on the side to show you some of where the different scriptures that are referenced, or at least an allusion to those scriptures as we sing together. By a show of hands, how many of us know this song already? Okay, majority of us. That will be helpful. It's new for some of us. This song comes from Romans 13, and we'll see that referenced as we go through. What we're going to do for those of us who don't know the song yet is we're going to sing the first verse, just the melody of the song, just that top set of notes. So we can get that melody in our minds together, and then we'll go back and sing it all together. Do ti la. Again, just the melody, first verse. Do ti la.
The hour is at hand to awake. The day.
Harmony parts. Now, just a note, it does start in unison, so you won't hear the harmony until the last notes of that opening line when it splits into the harmony parts.
Noti la.
When we know the scripture behind these things, I hope that it will help us remember these things, these thoughts. We're about to take a short break, and I hope that putting these elements together in this first session will help all the rest of our worship this weekend. God wants to engage our whole person in our sacrifice of praise. Four simple things we can do. One is to prepare. Don't just suddenly hop into worship. There's lots of things we can do to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. But then perspective, thinking about putting that sacrifice up on the altar ought to stir us to more fervent, more thoughtful worship. Participate, sit up, breathe. The more you put in, often the more you and others will benefit. And finally, practice. This is something that if we're not doing it regularly, it's easy to fall into those old habits. And so be working at these things. We're going to take a short break. Is there a prayer before we take a break? I think Scott's going to lead us in that. And then we'll take about a 10-minute break.